Good. All it takes is obedience. Amen. Thank you. You know, you know you're a redneck when you build a $1 million building and you use an old paint ladder for a speaker stand. You know, you're going to walk away tonight and you're not going to think, wow, did I learn something new tonight? You're not going to learn something new tonight. You're going to hear something old. And what you are going to hear is sometimes hard for us. But you know what? On both ends, the giving end, the receiving end, sometimes many of us, most of us, are there. And tonight I'm going to talk to you about when you have been treated unfairly. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. And Lord, I humble myself before you, and I submit myself to you. I resist the devil, and your word says that he'll flee from us according to the precious holy name and the precious holy blood of Jesus Christ. Help me, Lord. Just help me behind this pulpit, Lord. You know that my nerves get shot when I preach in front of my home church. I don't know why. But help me, Lord, and I thank you for it. Help us to get a good message across. Help everyone to walk away, Lord, that they could be better Christians, better sons, better daughters for you, Lord. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, how do you react when someone treats you unfairly? Let's say somebody cheats you or lies about you, damages your reputation, falsely accuses you, or singles you out because they don't like what you stand for. You know, every one of us, this happens to. Every one of us, this happens to. And also, every one of us, probably most of us, if you think, sometimes we're the ones that do it to other people sometimes. What's your response? Do you retreat into depression? Withdraw from human interaction? You know, I worked at the post office, and there was this young lady, young girl. She was a real sweet girl, and she just used to talk a lot. She just never shut up. You know, she just talked and talked. And then one time, one of the bosses, you know, and it was in front of my office, went up to her and said to her, you know, and it was kind of rude, and he said, "Would you just shut up?" I mean, that's pretty mean. You know, just shut up. You talk too much. Can you imagine? You know, but guess what? She did. And I never heard another word, and neither did anybody else, out of her mouth. That's kind of strange. It's not the right thing to do, is it? Do you look for a way to get even? Do you vow that you'll never do anything nice for anyone again? I know people like that don't get treated unfairly. Cheat the next guy because you feel it's a dog-eat-dog world, or become so skeptical about the world that you no longer enjoy life. Sad. You know, Christians were called to be different in this world, and here's some way that we can, that the difference can really show. Difference can really show in our life. Here's some things to remember when you're unfairly treated. The first thing to remember when you have been treated unfairly is that, you ready for this one? Now, this is deep. Okay? Life isn't fair. Yeah, you probably never knew that before, huh? It amazes me. So when people get so upset when things don't come even, you know, things don't work out. They're treated unfairly, and they shouldn't be. Whoever said that life was going to be fair? You're not going to find any Bible verse that's going to tell you that. In fact, in a fallen world where mankind is corrupted by a sinful nature, things are not always going to be fair. You know, and it bothers me. While I'm preaching here, turn to Psalm 73. You know, it bothers me that the bad guy wins sometimes, that criminals get off scot-free. You know, Brother Charlie, he used to work in the courts. You've seen a lot of criminals walk out of the courtroom, haven't you, Charlie? Amen. I know, and I see it, and it really bothers me. Tell me something. Would you go pay money to go? I mean, probably nobody in here goes to the movies, but would you pay? Would those people pay money to go to a movie to see the bad guy win? There's never any plots, I don't think, where the bad guy comes out ahead, and not in the movies, but in real life they do. Real life they do. You know, sometimes trying to make things even is beyond our control. Remember, we live in a fallen world, and until God redeems this place from the curse, it's not always going to be fair. You know, we set our expectations too high sometimes in this life. You know, no matter how you live or what you do, life isn't going to be fair. Turn to Psalm 73. You know, but there's a big but here. Psalm 73, verse 3. We're going to read Psalm 73, verse 3 through 19. Now, things aren't always going to be fair, but for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasses them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens. They set their tongue, and their tongues walketh through the earth. Therefore, his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery place. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. You know what? You know what the problem is? We don't trust God to take care of things. Look at Psalm 37. Go to Psalm 37. 37:1-2. We don't trust God to take care of things. We try to look at things and say, well, that's not fair. I don't like the way that is. It's not right. But, you know, God's going to take care of it. We just don't have patience sometimes. And maybe he won't take care of it when we see it or even in our lifetime. But, you know, the balances are going to be leveled, evened out. Psalm 37, 1 and 2. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Amen. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. You know, the second thing to remember when you have been treated unfairly is that what happens in you is more important than what happens to you. Things are going to happen in life that we're powerless to change. You know, can I just stop for 1 second? I just wanted to... Joe, you wanted the pastor to do more of that Jeff McGahee. I'm not going to do Jeff McGahee, I'm sorry. But you know what? I will do Yuri Kravitz in a little bit. I don't think half the church knows who Yuri Kravitz is anymore, but they will. Okay. If we keep reliving spending hours thinking and going over about the wrongdoings in our life, you know what? We are going to be the most miserable people in the world. And listen, and when we know we're right, the more we fight to prove that we're right, the worse we look. You know, another thing. Sometimes we're right and we're, you know what? A good example. I teach the men in Africa, my leaders in Africa, look it, you're going to get people coming up to you and they're going to be telling you they don't like this, they don't think that's right, they don't think what you're doing is right. You know what? They're going to be criticizing you sometimes. And you know what you say? I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I offended you in any way. You know, Pastor Camilleri did that the other day. I'm sorry if I offended him in any way. And that's the way that's the attitude we got to have. Otherwise, you know what? We're going to be the ones that look wrong in this world. We're going to be the ones that look guilty. You know, ask the Lord to change our life to use this wrong and bring about good in us. You know, Joseph knew this, and he tried to be the best person that he could be, you know, and in whatever circumstance that came through him or around him or in him. And you know what God did for him? God took him from a pit to a palace. And that's what he could do for us, too. If we just obey him, listen to him, be humble, and try not to always have to prove that we're right. After living with this choice of bitterness versus bitterness, you know, his brother stood before him and he, at a snap of a finger, could have had revenge. But instead, you know what he said? He said, "But as for you, ye thought it this evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." You know, lots of things in this life are going to seem bad at first. I don't know, maybe because on the mission field, I don't think so. You know, we all got lives. We all have interactions. It doesn't matter if you're a missionary, a pastor, a person, any person. We're all going to have things happen to us. But, you know, I can look back and I could look at all the trouble that I had in Africa, trying to do something and people stopping me, you know, trying to find land for an example, trying to find land over and over and over again. And every time I found a parcel of land, what happened to it? The council took it from me. And then they, you know what? I should have been on the payroll. Because the council, what they would do is they would scoff up all the land they could, and then they would sell it to people, which is illegal, but that's what the government was doing. You know, and they would, every time I found a parcel of land, they take it from me. And I'm going, "Lord, that was a beautiful spot. What are you doing? Why can't I have it? Why didn't you do something?" You know what? The parcel of land that I have now, where our church is sitting, you could not in a million years for $1 million get a better piece of land for a church. It's smack dab right in the middle of three townships that is in walking distance of three townships, a quarter of a mile from a huge university where students are walking up and down past that church every single day. And a lot of them are going to that church now and being discipled. You couldn't ask for it better. But you know what? I kept going, "Why, Lord, why? Why do you let these people take that from me?" Sometimes we just gotta let God do the work. Let him do the work. You know, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as this day to save much people alive. You know what? Here, I got a glass of water, okay? Say you were holding this glass of water. And you're standing in the aisle. And I come walking down the aisle. And I accidentally, or on purpose, bump into you. Boom. What's going to happen? What's in the glass is going to spill out. You know, and this is the way our lives are. When we're bumped, whatever's on the inside is what's going to come out. You know, what's on the inside? You know, God wants the things inside the glass cleaned up. From time to time, he'll allow us to get bumped, sometimes forcibly, sometimes unjustly, to reveal what's in there. You know, a life where the Holy Spirit has been ignored will reveal a cup full of hatred, discord, jealousy, rage, selfishness, bitterness, dissension, and envy. God wants all of that to change. Because what happens in you is far more important than what happens to you. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. The third thing, remember, when you've been treated unfairly, is God is watching to see what you will do. More is happening when an injustice is done than just the unpleasantness of the moment. God's watching to see what you're going to do. He sees it from the beginning. He sees it to the end. And you know what? A lot of times it is a test to see what you're going to do. Turn to 1 Peter 2:19. 1 Peter 2:19 and 20. Okay. This is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. This is acceptable with God. Now, you know, there was a man, his name was Yuri Kravitz. How many know Yuri? I want to see how many people know you. How many people don't know Yuri? Oh, wow. You know, you haven't done Yuri in a long time, so I'm going to have to. I hope I can do it half as good as you. He does Yuri better than Yuri. You know, Yuri was in the Soviet Union, and he was a preacher. And Yuri used to preach when the KGB was hunting down these people. And Yuri preached not in a church building, because he'd be caught easily. He used to preach out in the woods. And one day, somebody must have tipped him off, but the KGB came and surrounded them, and they captured Yuri, and they took him, and they put him in a cage. You know, it was a pit in the ground, and there was a lat, and they threw him in the pit after they severely beat him up. I mean, they got butts of their guns and hitting him in the face, hitting him in the nose, breaking his teeth, throwing him down there. For all they knew, he could have been dead, the beating that they gave him. Yuri didn't die, but when he woke up, he couldn't open his eyes and he couldn't open his mouth. And he had to scrape the dried blood away from his eyes and away from his mouth so he could open it. And he'd hear, and God would speak to him, you know, Yuri, you used to be a big man when you were in the church, but now here you are in the prison with your enemies. And Yuri's thinking about this, and he's going, oh, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't love them. What they did to me and what their agenda is, and they almost killed me, and who knows if they killed any of my followers. I can't, you know, and he could never get any peace. He couldn't get peace about them. But until he got broken, until he was in that prison cell or pit, and he said to God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love them. And he started meaning it with their heart. And he started praying for them. And that's when Yuri finally felt peace. You know what? It's easy to suffer when you're wrong. But a guy like Yuri, he wasn't wrong. He was right. And sometimes we're not wrong. You know, we don't get beaten up like that. We might get someone kicking you out of a store. I had the security guard of Wegmans. He was about this tall and probably about that wide. And he goes, could you come with me, please? You know, and that's about the most persecution I think we get. But we need to take it patiently. You know what? Make God proud. Enduring the pain, handling it properly, this is acceptable with God. Number four. The fourth thing to remember when you've been treated unfairly is don't turn to bitterness. All of us need some standards for ourselves. We need to draw the line and say, I will not turn to bitterness, not for comfort, not for security, not for revenge, not for anything. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, forgive one another. That's what we need to do. God wants all bitterness out of your life. He wants all the bitterness out of you. You know, he doesn't want you to have an evil thought about another person. You know, there was a guy, he went to the doctors, and he went a little bit too late. You know, he got bit by this rabid squirrel, and the guy got rabies, and here he is in the doctor's office, and it was too late. And the doctor told him, he goes, you know, you should have been here sooner. He goes, I don't know what to tell you, but I don't think you're going to have much longer to live. And the guy looked mad. And he got a piece of paper out, and he started writing things. The doctor thinks that he's writing down his last will and testament. He goes, what are you writing? He says, I'm making a list of all the people I'm going to bite. You know, that's how some people handle injustice. They're so bitter that they bite everyone around them. You know, we must never turn to bitterness. Number five, fifth thing to remember when you have been treated unfairly, we're going to end early. It's church, man. You're supposed to be happy to be in church. I'm in church. I want to be here. You know, I'm looking, there's hardly anybody, not a lot of people here today. I told Pastor Folk, I said, you know, Pastor, I go, don't announce that I'm preaching. He goes, why? I go, nobody will show up. He did. He put it in the bulletin. I pulled in the parking lot, there was hardly any. I go, that's because Pastor Folk, you listening, Pastor Folk? You should have never done that. I told one person, I go, just put on a good movie. Fifth thing to remember when you've been treated unfairly, what you do is more important than how you feel. Go to Matthew 5:44. Okay. And then get Luke 6. Put that in your, put your finger there. Okay. God told us what our behavior should be like. But I say unto you, Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now go to Luke 6:27-28. But I say unto you which hear, I hope you all hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. I think he says it later on in Luke 2. For if you love them which love you. I think it's somewhere else in this same chapter he says it again. You know, it's hard to figure out what, it's not hard to figure out what these verses are saying we must do. The difficult part is our feelings. What we need to do is hard. You know, it's hard to get down on your knees and pray for someone. You know, I'll tell you, one time, you know, y'all know that my best friend was Snake Man. Some of you, most of you know, I think, right? And I was Mad Dog. Now I'm Joe the Baptist. But what? When I was in the transitional stage, when I left being Mad Dog and became Joe the Baptist, you see, Snake Man, he got very upset. See, I was his best friend. He was my best friend. We were almost like a married couple. We weren't going to get married or anything. They didn't have it then. But we were that close. And when I got saved, you know, he felt that I deserted him. He felt that I left him. And he was extremely hurt. And one day he got really drunk, as we used to do. I didn't anymore. And he came over. I was on my deck in the backyard. And he came over with a six-pack, and he goes, have a beer with me. And I go, John, I'm not drinking the beer anymore. Oh, am I not good enough to have beer with you anymore? And the next thing I know, I'm in a headlock. And I was trying to beat his fist with my face. You know, and he went back, and some things happened to John later that week where he got caught in a car with some cocaine and ended up being in jail. And I got my brother-in-law, the lawyer, to get him out. And he got fired temporarily from his job. And I used to pray for him. Even though what he did to me, it hurt. Hurt physically, too. I don't know how much I'd hurt his hand. But it hurt physically and mentally. But I used to pray for him. We used to, Jan and I would pray for him. And, you know, and he wasn't working. So I would go, whenever I'd go grocery shopping, I'd buy a couple bags of groceries for him, put them on his doorstep. We need to get on our knees and pray for the person that caused us pain. We need to make cookies or make a meal for that person who we know must hate us. To say something that blesses rather than cursing them under our breath. In every feeling, we're screaming, this isn't right. We've come to the place where we learn whether we're serious about our faith or not as Christians. We should do what's right, even if our feelings aren't in favor of it. Many of us haven't learned this very important part of our faith. Doing the right thing always isn't the thing that makes us feel good. Many things that God requires us to do goes against our feeling. Love your enemies. Who feels like doing that? The Christian knows that action lead, feelings follow. John 3:16. Who can say John 3:16? Everybody? Say it. God loves us so much, he gave his son. How do you think that made him feel when they crucified him? Do you think he was jumping for joy when his son was hanging on the cross suffering? What do you think would happen if God acted on feelings that day rather than a loving commitment to offer a way for the world to be saved? The right thing isn't always the thing that feels good at the moment. Actions lead, feelings follow. Where did the good feelings come when Jesus died on the cross? They came later, after the sacrifice. Go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. It was after the sacrifice that was made that people were coming to God because of what Jesus did. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, you know, endured. He endured first. He suffered first. And then came the joy. The joy came after the cross. It didn't come before or during. The good feeling came from doing the right. Doing right came after, not before. If we wait around hoping to get our feelings to go along with our actions, we'll never do what's right. Are you returning good for evil? Are you turning the other cheek? Are you walking the second mile? Are you praying for that person who has hurt you? Are you blessing or are you cursing? You know what's another bad thing that happens sometimes? Sometimes, some of us, we get treated unfairly. And here is a big danger, a very big danger. We get treated unfairly and we get hurt. But our friend sees us and he sees us getting hurt and he takes up our offense. There's a big danger in that. You know, you should never take up a brother's offense. What you should do is pray for both parties involved. Pray for both of them. Hard. Because you know what happens a lot of times? The person that takes up the offense, the person that's unfairly and unjustly treated, might get over it, might reconcile with the person, but the person that takes up the offense, more times out of not, they don't get over it as much as the person that was offended. And they stay offended. We need to be careful. We need to be careful. Are you turning the other cheek? Are you walking the second mile? Are you praying for that person who hurt you? Are you blessing or are you cursing? The sixth thing to remember when you have been treated unfairly is that, and this is the big one, you are still the bigger debtor. You're the bigger debtor. You know, in Matthew 18, we read a story about a man who owed a king 10,000 talents, and there was no way he could pay the debt. And in that day, there was no bankruptcy, only debtor's prison or slavery. And as he was about to be thrown into prison, he begged the king to give him another chance and more time to pay. And the king listened to the pleading and felt mercy for him. And what he did was that he completely forgave the debt. Completely forgave the debt. And the man walked away free. And the man goes home. You know the story. The man goes home. And he sees this man that owed him 100 talents. And he grabs him by the throat and he's shaking him and says, "Give me my money." And he goes, "I can't pay." And he throws him into prison. And you know what? The king comes back and finds this out and says, "You know, what you did was wrong. I forgave you the bigger debt. Now you're going to be punished." No matter who might be right wrong us, we are still the bigger debtor. We always will be. God has forgiven a huge debt that we can never pay on our own. Is it really much for God to ask, for Him to ask us to overlook some of the hurts that we experience? Are you the kind of person that needs to even the score, then expect God to even the score on you? How many times has God been merciful to you? Oh, man, I'll tell you. I look at God, and how can it be? How can it be that you could love a soul like me? Unbelievable. And if you knew me like Jan, you would say, "Yeah, that's right." And you know, and if I knew you like someone that lived in your house, they'd say, "Yeah, that's right." You know what? We have been extended mercy day after day, and we are so undeserving of it. So undeserving. Go to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to get out early. Matthew chapter 6, and you know, if I keep saying, you know what, brother, Camilleri, pastor, you know, how many eat leftovers? How many people here eat leftovers? Oh, y'all do. Okay, I actually know some people that will not eat leftovers, and I go, "Give them to me." You know, well, you know what, whenever we have leftovers, what do, Anna? I look at it and say, "That's not going to be enough," right? And I say that all the time. "It's not going to be enough. It's not going to be enough." And you know what? We always have more. We always have more. When we ask for mercy, you know, I had that in my head. And see, this is part of the things that happen when you get old and you don't have your church in front of you to help you. You see, my church in Africa, they would know, and they would say, and I go, "Right." They'd be on my page, you know. But let's look at Matthew 6, verses 12 through 15. Matthew 6. Where am I in Hebrews? Okay. "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You know, we forget so many times that we are the biggest debtor. We need to always realize what Christ has done for us, what God has done for us, sending Christ, a sinless, perfect creature, person, God, to die on a cross for lost man, sinful man. But God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, we were rebels when Christ died for us. We were shaking our fist at God. We were the enemy of God when Christ died for us. A sinless, perfect God. A God, you know what? Who was it? Dan Quattro. Is he here? Is he here? No? I love that message he did with the universe and how big everything is. You know, and I used to talk about that in Africa. You know, and I even had a video of the planetarium at the Creation Museum showing how big and immense everything is. And just to get an idea of what God is, how big God is. We can't even imagine how big he is, how smart he is, how awesome he is, how powerful he is, how scary he could be. We sometimes don't reverence him the way we should. Sometimes we reverence him like we would some man in authority. He's God. He's big. He's scary. But he's loving. And he loves us. He wants us to forgive. He created us. He wants us to forgive. And all that's all he's asking us to do is be a little bit like him. You know, we forget we're the bigger debtor. You know what the root problem is? Pride. Whether being unjust to someone or not handling unjust treatment. The biggest problem we have is pride. We need to humble ourselves. Or you know what? God will humble you. And it would be much better for us to humble ourselves than letting God do it. Much better for us to show forgiveness to other people, to show mercy to other people. Much better that when you do treat somebody unjustly and unfairly, and you realize, much better to be able to stand up and say, I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me? Much better not to prove yourself right. You don't have to prove yourself right. Because you know what? God knows who's right. And that's all that really matters. It's all that really matters. The Bible says to try to live peaceably with all men. And that's what we need to do. And sometimes the most important thing that we need to do that, is to humble ourselves and break down that pride. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Father, for the love that you show us. Help us, Lord, to be a people that are able to forgive. I know Brother Galeotto has a message, forgive, forget, and be fruitful. You know, and that's what we need to be. We need to forgive, we need to forget, we need to be fruitful so that we could go on for Jesus Christ. Amen.
heart tonight. It starts in the heart. We think when we give into God's way on this that we lose and they win. I heard a preacher say this recently. If I'm going to punish you with unforgiveness and bitterness because of how you hurt me or whatever, that's like me drinking poison waiting for you to die. He said in Romans, if we don't take vengeance and we bless them, it'll heap coals of fire on their head. Now that's not, well, I'll bless them and that'll make them feel guilty. No. This makes us better. Try it. If you don't believe it, try it. That's a hard pill to swallow if you're in that boat, amen. And I'll tell you what's hard. It's almost easier to do good to them than it is to mean it. I'll bake you a plate of cookies and you get that, that's a whole new level. We're talking beyond surrendering to a foreign field here. We're talking surrendering to a foreign field. Amen. Thank you, Anna. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Thank you for our dear brother. And Lord, if we haven't needed that, we will. And Lord, I can think of no other plateau, no other mountain, no other level that's higher than what the preacher's talking about tonight. And I pray we wouldn't just go away saying that was good, that was great, while the Lord, each and every one of us would take this to heart. And Lord, I pray it start in our own homes, between siblings, and that they'll become what they are now. And Lord, because the husbands and wives that they'll become and the preachers that they'll become and the ministers that they'll become are really the brothers and sisters that they are now. And I pray for that. I pray for husbands and wives. And Lord, we wouldn't just look too far for some, for this that's taken place in our lives. We wouldn't look past, Lord, our own arm's length and our own homes and Lord, our own marriage relationships. And what a thing to be like Jesus under our own roofs, and then we can start to spread out with it. Thank you for your messenger tonight. Pray you'd bless our way home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. No practices tonight, but we do need 140 chairs set up by